The city council meeting for the city of Cedar Hills. Today is Tuesday, March the 17th, 2015. I currently have 7 p.m. I'd like to call our meeting to order. Tonight, the invocation will be given by Mayor Gigi, and the pledge will be given by one of our scouts, Tyson Hauser. So we'll proceed at that point.
Our Father, which art in heaven, we're grateful for this day and for the many blessings we have in our lives. We're grateful for the opportunity we have to serve the residents of Cedar Hills. Grateful for this wonderful city we live in, freedoms we enjoy in this country. We pray that we may be able to do the people's work in a manner pleasing unto them and unto thee. That our work will be transparent, that it'll be thoughtful, and we'll be able to come to good conclusions. And we pray and ask for these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Tyson.
Stand. Repeat the pledge with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated.
Thank you, Tyson. We appreciate our scouts doing that for us each time. Okay. I'd like to move on to our approval of the meeting's agenda. If someone would like to take a look at the agenda, either accept it as is, or make an amendment to it, I'll take that motion.
I move that we accept the agenda as is.
Okay. I have a motion to accept the agenda as is. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Next is public comments. So I do show that we have one person that signed up for public comments. Let me just take a moment and explain how public comments works. And so at the beginning of each meeting, we designate about 30 minutes for anyone that would like to come and speak whatever's on their mind. And so I do have one person that signed up, Keith Hansen. So Mr. Hansen, if you want to come up front and state your name and your address, and let me just say a couple things before you start. And so I heard yesterday that you may be coming, which is great. So this is an issue that we're concerned about. But you've only got 3 minutes. And so it would be preferred if we could get you on an agenda where there is more time to deal with it rather than 3 minutes.
I got 3 minutes worth of my feelings.
Okay.
And then we can put it on an agenda. That'd be fantastic.
Great. Very great. So you want to state your name, and your address?
Keith Hansen, 4037 Ironwood Drive. I've lived in Cedar Hills 19 of the last 21 years. I've been running and riding in the foothills east of Canyon Road for all of those 19 years and have noticed a disturbing trend of increased trash, new roads being formed, wildfires, and the almost constant barrage of gunfire during evenings and weekends. I have been told for years that it was federal property and there was nothing for the city of Cedar Hills that they could do about it. I personally believe that public areas should be available for multiple uses as long as there's no degradation of public property and the safety of the citizenry is not compromised. The pivotal point for me was last fall on a bike ride when a bullet raced right past my head while I was on a bike just past the water tanks up here. And I decided that was the last straw. Enough's enough. I could deal with the trash. I can deal with the noise. But my personal safety within the city limits of Cedar Hills, what I believe to be the city limits, I wasn't willing to give up on that, compromise that. So I expressed my concern with other residents of Cedar Hills, and many others I found felt the same way that I did. But everybody, one of the things that came up is other people said, you know, I'd like to go hike around up there, but I'm afraid to go because I'm afraid I'm going to get shot. And my own daughter and her friends went up there, and they had to hike all the way back around because everybody was shooting on a Saturday everywhere up there. Other cities in Utah County are not tolerating this kind of behavior. Alpine, Pleasant Grove, Linden, Orem, none of them have an informal shooting range where everyone goes out to shoot. And I will have you know, as I've taken a straw poll, most of the people up there are not residents of Cedar Hills because it's the only place left That's where everybody's ended up. And now Cedar Hills has a bad reputation due to our lack of enforcement of our existing laws, resulting in an informal shooting range that has become more and more popular. I went ahead and checked the public records of Utah County and found, like you'll see some maps here, that I know that there's some private property mixed in there, but where the bulk of the shooting is taking place is part of within the Cedar Hills city limits. So I went ahead and attached, I think we all know, like that's not legal, right? So I found, as I went up and asked people, hey, where do you think the city limits are? Everybody consistently said, it's the power lines, it's the Bonneville Shoreline Trail, anything above that is BLM, we can shoot up here all we want. And so the research that I did indicates otherwise, but really it comes up to the city to decide whether it wants to enforce the laws that we already have in place. So as a citizen, all I'm asking for is that we would enforce the laws that are already in place within Cedar Hills. And by so doing, I think we're going to alleviate a lot of the trash, the noise, and the danger. Because I'm here to tell you, the liability issues of somebody getting shot and someone's house burning down from another fire, I don't think the city wants to deal with that. Thank you so much for your time. 1 second to go.
Thank you. So let me just say a couple of things. And so this is not usually time for us to debate, but I do want to say something, and that is you touched on a point that probably concerns a lot of council members, which is the safety of people up there. And the part that's confusing is where the city property ends and the Forest Service begins, right? And so I called the John Stansfield, who's our Forest Service Ranger out of Pleasant Grove. And so he shared that concern because I shoot, but I don't shoot here. I go over to Alpine, where they do have an area that is above the city that is Forest Service area where apparently everyone goes to shoot. And so, but it's clear because there's a fence that says you are now entering Forest Service territory. So you know that you're exiting city boundaries and you're entering the Forest Service area. And on our mountain, there should be something that clear, that obvious, that that says you're leaving Cedar Hills. And if you haven't come to that point, then you shouldn't be shooting, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
I agree. So I did speak with John Stansfield of the Forest Service, and he shared that same concern. And so he said he's going to look into it and see if they can find ways to identify it. As soon as I know more, I'll let the council and I'll let you know as well. Okay?
So where do we go from here?
Pardon me?
Where do we go from here? Make it on an agenda? Do we talk about on email?
Yeah, and so probably the next thing to do is to find out what the Forest Service says. Because if people are shooting on Forest Service area, they have to enforce it.
Right.
And so, but if you are close by and you see someone who's clearly not what you think is on Forest Service area, then you should be calling the police.
Well, the police don't understand where the boundaries are either. I've had that conversation with Cedar.
Yeah, the boundary issue is clearly an issue. And so, but if you think that there's someone that is not even close to that, I guarantee you, because American Fork Police is here tonight, is that they will respond to that and they will listen to that and they will address that. Now, there is that issue of whether someone's in boundaries or not, but at least the conversation could be had until we designate what is really the boundary area up there. Fair enough? Okay. All right.
Carrie, can I ask you just a quick question on that? When you spoke with the Forest Service, are we sure that that land up there that they own is BLM land as opposed to being some other federal designation?
No, he said it was Forest Service land.
So not BLM.
It's federal land, I think, and he said that they had jurisdiction over it, whether it's BLM or whether it's Forest Service.
So we'll need to find out what that designation is.
Yeah, he still said he had jurisdiction over it, though.
Sure, but if it's BLM land, then shooting is allowed, but if it's other kinds of forest land, then it's maybe not allowed. So that would make a big difference.
Yeah, I know that over in Alpine, it is Forest Service land, and that's where I shoot, and a lot of people go and shoot as well. So we'll find that out.
Can I make one comment?
Sure.
Why don't you, even though you didn't sign up, why don't you come up and take three minutes, state your name, address?
Russ Hollandrake, 10018 North Pine Court, Cedar Hills. I've lived here for over 30 years. I'm a concealed weapon permit holder at Advocate Shooter, and I understand everything that you guys have just said. However, if the boundary line is made clear, and this is a line in the sand, so to speak, if we move on the other side of that line, it does not alleviate the danger, the fire, or the litter that's up there. So at that point, I guess what we have to do is address the Forest Service or whoever owns that land, because the problem will not go away.
Yeah.
It'll just be outside of the city limits.
I think that if you're saying that you would like the Forest Service to ban shooting up there, that's a conversation. You're absolutely right. That's a conversation that you'd have to have with the Forest Service.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So you'll email us and let us know what Park Service says?
As soon as I hear back from the Forest Service, then council know first, and then I've got your contact information here, Mr. Hansen. Okay. All right. Let's move on to our consent agenda. Looks like we've got one meeting's minutes, February the 17th, 2015. Oh, excuse me, two meeting's minutes, the 17th of February, 2015, and March the 3rd of 2015 as well. If someone would like to make a motion to put those records in the record, I'll take that.
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Okay. Motion's been made. Is there a second?
I second.
Is there any further discussion on that? If not, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Let's move on to city reports and business. Mr. Bunker, why don't you start?
Just a couple of items. Starting in April, we will be holding some community classes hosted by Intermountain Farmers. And the topic for these will be what we can do outside in our gardens and our lawns. April 8th will be a pruning and gardening class. May 6th will be another gardening class. June 10th, turf and irrigation and fertilization, which is a really important one for our area, especially considering the soils we have. We have another one in July on pest and weed management. In August, canning and food preservation, jams and jellies. That's going to be good. September 2nd, they're going to take some feedback. And then October, winterizing your yard. This flyer is out front here in the lobby of the community center. So grab a flyer and put those dates on your calendar. In addition to that, on the third Wednesday of every month, we will have another community class that will be given by a resident, Diane Farr. And she will be discussing some advanced levels for soil management. And we really do need that around here. Soil augmentation is really important to reduce our water consumption. She will be joined by a professor from BYU that she's working with. And they will kick off their class on April 15th. And they'll be talking about watering lawns and how important it is to follow the state watering guidelines. Also, the annual city Easter egg hunt is coming up on April 3rd, and it will begin at 8:30 p.m., and you should have received a notification regarding that, but it will be here at the driving range, and they will have a teen party immediately following that. And then on April 4th, in the morning, that would be a Saturday at 9 a.m., at the Heritage Park, 10 years old and younger, will also have another Easter egg hunt, and we have a sponsor for that who lives here in Cedar Hills, and they will donate an additional 3,000 eggs for this event. So there will be plenty of eggs.
That's at 9 a.m.?
That one will be at 9 a.m.
Okay.
At Heritage Park. So that's the next day on Saturday. Friday night is the teen egg hunt. So the Youth City Council held their first Sidekick Superhero Day on Saturday here at the Community Center. And we had 24 little superheroes, and the YCC had a great time with that, and that will be an annual event as well. Our teen soccer program registration just ended, so we will have This is a co-ed, correct, Greg? And so this is our first year doing this. We will be joining with American Fork City. And so we already had 50 people registered for that. So if you want to do co-ed soccer, please let us know. We are now open at the golf course for all 18 holes. We've had some issues, obviously, with getting Questar through the course and through the facility parking lot here. Now they are headed down Bay Hill. I know each one of you have noticed that. And then they will turn and head down Canyon Road and tie on to the location where they're coming up on Cedar Hills Drive. So Cedar Hills Drive is one lane. Bay Hill Drive is one lane right now. Within a couple of weeks, they will be out of the right-of-way on Bay Hill and Cedar Hills Drive, but they will be working in Canyon Road. So we've got a new pickleball kit that we will start to rent out for residents to play on the pickleball court, and that is on Cedar Hills Drive, just next to the church on Cedar Hills Drive there. You can contact the city for more information there. Spring cleanup will be April 11th and April 18th, so we will have dumpsters located throughout the community to get yard waste and debris taken away. So check the website for that as well. There will be a blood drive April 7th in conjunction with Horrocks Engineers. So there's a competition for that, and even if you don't give the most blood, they will give you a t-shirt. So we have TSSD, the Timpanogos Special Service District, will meet this Thursday night, and I will report on that later. That's all I have.
I think you should tell Horrocks every year they do it on number of people, they should do it on percentage of population, because we're never going to win compared to Pleasant Grove or Linden.
we'll suggest that to them.
Mr. Zappala, you ready?
I do not have anything to report today.
Thank you. Mrs. Reese?
I have no updates.
Okay. I just have a couple of updates. I saw some conversations on a social media site about some issues that I've been very involved with, and some of the information was wrong, so I thought I'd just take a moment and correct some of it, which is, so I'll start with Canyon Road, in that there's some thoughts that with the county now owning Canyon Road, that money that had been allocated by Mountain Land Association of Government to the Canyon Road project, which is sponsored by Cedar Hills and Pleasant Grove, that money would somehow not be available. It is available. That money cannot go anywhere. It cannot be redirected towards BRT or anything else without the county coming before the Mountain Land Association of Government Board, of which I'm chair, and saying, we're going to take the money that was allocated for Cedar Hills and Pleasant Grove and use it somewhere else. They cannot do that. And so there's $4.5 million there, maybe an additional 10%, plus UDOT has $1.5 million that they earmarked for Canyon Road. The county had an additional $1.5 million that was left over from North County Boulevard. They are not obligated to use that for Canyon Road. They can do whatever they want with that. So this discussion is continuing in terms of is Canyon Road a phase 1, 2, and 3 idea? Is it Daniel had posed the idea that if the county fixed it to a level that everyone's happy with, then should the cities own it? So the discussion is still going on, but I just wanted to be clear that the money allocated by MAG is still there.
There's $4.5 million available, but not the 1.5. The $4.5 million is the total sum that's now available.
No, I said $4.5 million plus possibly an additional 10%, so that'd be $5 million. Uh-huh. And then UDOT has another $1.5 million, so you're at $6.5 million.
Wonderful.
Okay, so that's still there. And then there is a project called American Fork Vision Project, and so I've been heavily involved with this for the last couple of years, where we're trying to figure out recreation and transportation issues up American Fork Canyon. So steering committee was created about a year or so ago. and every relevant stakeholder sits at the table with us. So Forest Service is there, the Park Service is there, County is there, UDOT is there, UTA is there, Snowbird, who's a large shareholder up at the top, is there. Save Our Canyons is there. So those are the two groups that tend to have a lot of opinions and kind of go back and forth. And so, but our objective there is to try and figure out what recreation up American Fort Canyon is going to look like for the next 40, 50 years. And so a lot of the issues that I deal with, whether it's clean air, whether it's transportation, or American Fork, is for how things are going to look in 2050, because the population of Utah County is supposed to double by 2050. And if that happens, then a lot of those people are going to want to recreate, and a lot of those people are going to want to recreate up American Fort Canyon. And if we don't figure that out, then I think we're going to wish that we had. So we're having discussions about what does this look like? Because there's really well-intended people like me who ride their ATVs up there. I stay on the trails, but not everyone does. People on motorcycles tend to go wherever they want to go. So we're loving our canyon to death, almost to a point where certain parts of the canyon are being destroyed. So that's what we're trying to figure out, is what it looks like, and it's a long conversation. So, Mr. Crowley, anything that you want to report on?
I have nothing.
Okay, Mr. Geddes.
Yes, I attended my first Utah Valley Dispatch Special Service District meeting this week. Or was it last week? Can't remember. But anyway, the first one. And there are several items that I'd like to... I have a flyer that I will take to the city. But the biggest thing the dispatch is needing is people. They're very short. They're staffed. The last time they advertised, they got something like 40 applications, of which three of them were past the screening test, of which one of them was a high school student, and when they got down to like one viable person, and then they failed the test. So anyway, if you know of it, people that are looking for a job, we'll post this in our city, and it pays pretty well, and there's good benefits and things like that. So that's the first thing. The other thing of importance is that as you know, our board approved a resolution to pay for a portion of the new building that is going to be built to house the dispatch center. And I did volunteer to be on the building committee. I will be the only general contractor on that committee. So we'll look at ways to make sure we keep costs under control. And other than that, I was just trying to get up to speed with, it was a very long meeting. they said, oh, they don't last this long normally, but, you know, it lasted till almost noon, so anyway.
Thank you very much.
Don't believe them. That's about how long they normally last.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Augustus.
Nothing new to report.
Okay, thank you. Let's move on now to scheduled items. And so, Mr. Lowe, you're going to lead us in a discussion on the FY16 Golf Fund and Golf Debt Service Fund.
Okay, one of the goals of the golf budget is to follow the counsel of the Golf Finance Committee from a couple years ago, and that was that we target the business golfer that, you know, wants quick play, expects great customer service, and Wade is really good with golfers and our golf manager, and Brian, our superintendent, creates a great environment for them to play in. And this budget supports those goals of attracting those types of golfers that over time develop a loyalty to the golf course and help it mitigate its subsidy. I think golfers can be offended really easily when you try to do shortcuts, and they just won't come back. And so this is an approach that we can continue to improve. Wade has shown that he can grow the tournaments, he can grow the season passes, and develop loyalty at this course if we continue to give him that opportunity. If you look at the trends that we've had the last few years with him, he's done a great job. The significant changes that I addressed earlier in work session are that we had to adjust for the capital equipment that we purchased in January out of the motor pool fund. The golf fund will contribute an additional $13,000 for that equipment. Also, this year on our golf cart lease, we have approximately $4,600 above the lease in property taxes due because the owners are in Ohio and that's required by the contract. Also, we are adjusting $31,000 to show for water usage, which we also did in the general fund. We adjusted utilities in the general fund for the water that the parks use and our open space. So those are the biggest adjustments that we had in the fund. Most other things remain the same other than concessions went to our new grill manager, Vista Point, and so those items have been taken out.
So, Shar, can I just ask one question regarding that? And I'm sure I missed it because I was a little late for the work session, but the maybe explain the utility thing to me again.
So last year,
I mean, why did we think when we made the budget that we thought we could do it for $31,000 less and then
okay,
now we're revising it?
So it used to be common practice. If you go earlier in the work session, I showed other budgets from other cities where they don't have any budget for utilities for their golf course, like Payson or Hobble Creek, where they actually own electricity utilities also, not just they're part owners of electricity. So they don't have their parks, their including golf or their pool or whatever that used utilities. Normally they wouldn't allocate an additional charge on that. So last year the state auditor in May said, we would like everyone to show what they are charging, what they could have charged to their parks or to their golf or whatever for water, sewer, electricity. And if you don't, then we'd like you to public notice a separate notice to all your residents in a mailing telling them what they're not charging their departments for. So we made a decision to update our budget to show, okay, these are the rates we charge Lone Peak High School for water usage. And so we came up based on acreage an additional $31,000 in utilities that we would charge the golf fund, which is being reimbursed by the water and sewer fund, so it's kind of a wash. But we just have to disclose that in our budget.
So, like in 03, it was 23.
Yeah.
04 up, and then 05 projected down, and now revised up.
Yep. So that was strictly electricity, and we also had in our budget pumping costs related to water. So there were some water-related costs. This is just another charge that we added.
So this is your lumping electrical,
gas,
water, everything in utilities here.
And yes.
I mean, you're taking an educated guess at what those are, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, for the budget, allocation. Based on trends, the gas and electricity, the water usage, it's based on last summer what they measured and stuff. But also, it's based on acreage.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else?
I was just going to tell the council, I went into Dropbox and we discussed the 10-year replacement plan. It's in the January 5th folder under budget amendments.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.
You're not done, are you?
I am done unless you want to go in more. We will discuss this again in tentative budget in May and in the final budget in June.
Thank you for being concise.
Sure.
Mr. Crawley, were you leaning forward to ask a question?
No, I was just going to say he did a really good job with all the schedules and comparing different golf courses. I appreciate the hard work.
Okay. Thanks, Any Rob. Other questions from anybody? If not, we'll move on. Thank you very much. Next item is a review action item on the bid for the Harvey Well Rehabilitation Project. Mr. Bunker?
Mayor and Council, we were able to hold the bid opening yesterday on a project to rehabilitate the Harvey Well, and we have a tabulation of those bids that we received in front of you now. And the low bid, the low responsive bidder is Water Well Services, and we bid this project with a base amount, which is item A. Their base amount is $39,780. And then item B, which is an additive alternative, is $44,000. So in item A, what we know we have to do with this well is we need to pull the pump and get a video down the casing and see what this well looks like. We have not done any rehabilitation on this well since it was installed in 1999. And we have been noticing a drop-off in production of this well. And then also, last year we noticed several occasions where extra air bubbles were being discharged from the well that were entrained in the water. And so that could be due to a couple of different things. But in order for us to rehabilitate this well, we need to have somebody come in and pull this pump and give us an analysis of that. And then, if needed, we may need to do an acid treatment program where we clean the well. So that's what the additive alternative is.
We may not have to do that second procedure depending on
what we see. We may not, depending on what we see. Mm-hmm. And we may not need to use that many hours. So we had them, we just didn't want to go into this project not having a defined cost and scope for the job. We may not get to the additive alternate depending on what we see. So,
physically, where is this located?
So this is right next to the Heritage Park, out in the southeast corner of Heritage Park. There's a little parking lot there. And the well is just right in the corner.
Right by the play area?
Right by the play area. That's correct. So that's physically where the well is located.
Thanks.
It's a timing issue because this well is very important to our culinary supply.
Hey, and the head's not inside that building, is it?
The actual well, yeah. So we will actually pull off
Say you're going to have to take in the roof off?
The roof off. And there's a hatch there that they pre-designed to come off. Yeah. So we will have to take that off and pull. Okay.
So is Water Well Services, do they have some familiarity with Harvey Well? Were they involved when you pulled out a motor before? It seemed like you and I talked about that. Or is that not them?
Yeah, Rod Mund, he's the owner there at Water Well Services. So he is very familiar with the Harvey Well. So we have two culinary wells. Harvey Well is our main culinary feed. We also have the Cottonwood Well, which we also transition to pressurized irrigation in the summer. So this is a tight time frame. We had some issues with Cottonwood Well that we've been able to work through. We didn't want to take apart the Harvey Well if the Cottonwood Well wasn't where we needed it to be. And so now we've got that operational and we feel confident in the Cottonwood Well. Now we need to go ahead and get the Harvey Well done and get that done before we hit heavy water use. So our recommendation is that we award the project to the low bidder water well services.
I'm just going to make a quick statement. This is the first time I've seen this. I had no participation in the people who bid or even moving forward on this project, but I will recuse myself as my husband's employer was one of the people who responded to the bids.
Oh, okay. Any questions? Daniel, are you wanting to say something?
No, I just wanted to ask. I wanted to be sure I understood in terms of interruption of service. What's the expected time that the well will be out of service?
So we're anticipating that they would start within the next week or two, but that by the end of May, everything will be back in place and operational so that when we hit that heavy irrigation season, that this well is ready to rock and roll. So that's why timing is critical.
So up to 6 weeks then?
Yeah. Okay. And again, that will depend on what we encounter after we pull the pumps and get a look at what's in there.
Will anyone notice any change in anything as far as taste or anything like that of the water between the two wells? Because we'll be drinking out of the Cottonwood well for the next little bit.
Yeah.
Right? Is it the exact same?
Yeah. No one has noticed yet. Uh-huh. I don't know that you've noticed, but we've put Cottonwood well into your water system already. So we can go back and forth there. One of the important things too with this project, we do not have any kind of instrument to tell us how deep the static water level is on Harvey Well right now. They had an airline initially installed on this well. The airline quit functioning immediately after it was installed. So for the past, ever since I've been here, since 2001, we have not known what the water level is in this well. And that's kind of flying blind. It's a little scary because we need to be documenting where that water level is.
Are they going to check that and, I guess, rehabilitate that line?
Yes.
So that we know?
Yes. That'll be part of the project to get that installed.
Okay. If there are no more questions, I'll entertain a motion on this action item.
I'll make the motion.
Go ahead.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the award of the Harvey Well Rehabilitation Project to Water Well Services in the approximate amount of item A, $39,780, item B, $44,000, for a total bid amount of $83,780 in accordance with the plans and specifications as prepared by Bowen Collins and Associates.
I'll second.
Motion has been seconded. Any further discussion? Let's have a vote. Mr. Zappala.
Aye.
Mr. Crowley.
Aye.
Mr. Geddes.
Aye.
Mr. Augustus.
Aye.
The motion passes. Thank you very much. Let's move on to item number 9. Mr. Bunker, you're also presenting. It's a review of RFQs that were sent out for professional services.
So, Mayor and Council, staff has, as directed, staff has sent out the request for qualifications for professional services. Those were sent out to engineering firms, financial auditing firms, legal services, and inspection and building review firms. We received 8 proposals for the engineering. 7 firms proposed on the financial auditing. 7 firms proposed for legal services, and 5 on the inspection, building inspection, and plan review. And we were able to send a PDF copy of all of those proposals, as we were asked to send those to council. And staff has had a chance to go through those proposals as well and review them. Tonight, we would like to answer any questions, or we can discuss any of the proposals that you have if you have specific questions. Staff has prepared somewhat in their minds kind of the top ones that if the council would like to interview. We just need more direction on the process you want to finalize those with. If you want to interview every area, if you want to create a group, a couple council members to interview, that would be fine as well. We are open to your suggestions on how you would like to proceed to to our final.
So you had mentioned to me the other day that you'd prepare a spreadsheet for the various areas. Were you able to do that? Did you have enough time?
Yeah, I think each staff member, and what I had in mind was Cheryl from the finance department would kind of go through the financial auditing firms, kind of give pros and cons why he would suggest certain firms. And I would go through the engineering. Jeff is here tonight, could go through the building inspection.
So do you have those spreadsheets? Because I didn't see anything.
We do, and we can go through those. I think, Cheryl, do you have yours? Did you bring yours?
It's on my computer.
Okay, so
would that be helpful?
That would be really
yes.
Helpful.
Yeah, I would actually like, my opinion is I'd like to see a spreadsheet, but I'd like to hear each department head
absolutely
would make a recommendation or two or three or what if they want feel like they're close enough that we should interview all of them. I don't know.
So this is what I had in mind. Dave and I talked about this on Monday, which is that I think it would be helpful for you guys to have a spreadsheet of each area and then have a recommendation from staff. In terms of their specialty. The only area where there's not a specialty is legal services, and so we'll have to have more of a free-flowing discussion there. But once you have a spreadsheet, plus you've got a recommendation from staff on one or two that they really like, then I would anticipate that two council members will join me in interviewing all of these finalists. So does that sound reasonable to everyone?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I really like the idea of having a spreadsheet, and I'd like to have that information soon when we can. I started putting together my own spreadsheet just because I wanted to start comparing, especially the legal services. And one of the concerns I had is that it was difficult to compare the proposals because some of them responded as requested and provided a monetary amount for a retainer. But some indicated this will cover this many hours per month, and others left that unspecified. And so I wanted to clarify, does that mean you're proposing this retainer to cover as many hours as we need? Some of them indicated they didn't know how to give a response for a retainer for a month because they didn't know how many hours we expected from them. And so I felt like we ought to follow up with them and have a dialogue with them. Another one said, well, he would just bill us at their regular time for 6 months, figure out what the ballpark number would be, and then negotiate with us. And so I wanted, hopefully, as we're putting together the spreadsheet, some way of dialoguing with these attorneys that have put in these proposals and say, hey, you need to give us a little more detail. We need some consistency if we're really going to judge, because right, it's hard to judge where they are right now. Some of them said they'd give us a discount off their hourly rate and then didn't tell us what their hourly rate was. So as I'm preparing hourly rates as we go to litigation, that was hard to do. So I just felt like I needed some way of putting them in a more standard format so we could really compare properly.
Agree.
So we will work on the spreadsheets for each of the different areas. We can draft one for the legal as well with questions there that those firms can be contacted. And Charles can forward his spreadsheet, and I will forward mine for the engineering, and Jeff can forward his for the building inspection services.
Yeah. And on that, especially for legal, I'd really like to see a column for their experience in terms of what other cities they've represented. And I'd really like to see a column for their location. Somebody who is local here to Lehi as opposed to someone who's in Salt Lake City might have an easier time. If we're saying we really want our attorneys to be there every time there's a meeting with a developer, every time there's anything of legal consequence, then being closer might be a bit of an advantage. So I'd like to know where they're at.
Okay. So this was just a discussion item. So I've expressed what I felt would be necessary in order to have a thorough discussion on this. Is there anything else that you guys would like to add other than spreadsheet and recommendations from staff, a couple council members to join me in interviewing these groups? So is there anything else that you guys want?
I would say the only other thing I would add is once you form a committee and you say, we've decided we're going to interview these two or three, if you've narrowed it down, just give a heads up to the rest of the council, because maybe we might see one and say, oh, I liked this one a lot. I'd like
that's
to add that
point.
Interview in.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good point. So maybe it's not a committee. Maybe it's different for engineering as opposed to public works, as opposed to legal services and audit. So, yeah, good point. I can live with that.
I would recommend actually for legal services that all the council members be involved in interviewing them, whether we have to hold a special meeting to do that and do it in executive session, because legal services is one of the things that probably affects our city the most, and I think it would be fair to have all council members involved with that.
I don't think legally we can do it in executive session.
I'm not sure we can.
Can we just do it in
the next meeting? We have to do it in a meeting, yeah.
We could just do it in the next meeting, couldn't we?
Mm-hmm. But if we want to talk details of a contract...
We can't do that in executive session.
But numbers you can. If we're talking about contract amounts, we're not allowed to talk about them publicly.
Any contract we sign with an attorney would be a public document.
I'm not saying no to that. Let me just think about how that would work and whether the logistics of that...
Because I thought the email from Colleen said that we needed to be careful what was actually discussed because of the contract terms.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because we're negotiating it up front. Once we settle on a contract, then yes, that's a public document, but negotiating it up front is a private discussion, is my understanding. I could be wrong. But that's
maybe we need legal opinion of our legal.
So we're going to fine-tune some of this in terms of the interviewing, and most of it, I think, can be held in as a three-person plus a staff member or two committee. But if you want to hold legal services, let me just kind of figure out what that would look like.
Can I ask a question pertinent to Trent's question there? How many of us are on the council saying, I'd really like to be there for the interviews? Because I'm guessing Trent's a yes, I'd like to be there. I would like to be there. Do we have...
I would too.
So maybe we just need to do them all in public meetings over the next month.
Because I would feel like I'd have a hard time making a decision on someone that important without really getting a chance to sit on
them. No, absolutely. That's why I brought that up, is because I think all of us have very strong feelings and want to be involved.
So that's input to our mayor.
All right, let me think how that's going to work then. And we're not making any decisions tonight, but we'll try and make that happen. Okay, let's move on now.
That's the last thing.
Is it really?
Wow.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Can I make a motion to adjourn?
I have a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
The motion's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much.
Wow. Short.